And he is one of the busiest guys going around, and you get to hear his dulcet tones, of course, across the Network 10 coverage of the Big Bash League. We thank Channel 10 for allowing us to talk to Mark Howard, who's commonly known around the circles as the Guru. Howie, I know you're at an airport lounge, which is pretty frequent sort of business for you about this time of year.
Hey guys, not sure about the Guru, but I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm sitting in the Qantas Club where my mail now gets directed, mate. Happy days. How are you, mate?
Do they allow the thongs into the Qantas Club? How does that work for you?
Well, it's a really good question because 2 years ago they banned thongs in the Qantas Club and it put me completely out of whack. It's changed my life and, you know, for the Australian airline, some would say it's un-Australian. Not me, Coz, but I'll let you put two and two together. It's disappointing to say the least.
Now, your coverage of the Big Bash is fantastic on Network 10. It's been a rating bonanza for the network. But what's it like for you behind the scenes? You're getting to know so many of these great Australian cricketers really well. You're traversing the continent and you're being part of something really exciting.
It's brilliant, mate. It really is. It's like you've won a competition in a, you know, Coke winner prize where your prize for the year is to get around Australia, go to the cricket and hang out with the likes of Ricky Ponting and Adam Gilchrist. And I treat it like that. You go to work every day and it is absolutely brilliant. We had Darren Lehman in the coach's box last night, in the commentary box, and just to sit there with the Australian coach, it was Steve Smith, the Australian captain, the night before, and to sit with these guys and find out a bit about their personality, Coz, and I think that's been the massive success of the Big Bash. Obviously, the sport is a magnificent sport, but the entertainment package, when people like Ricky Ponting feel relaxed enough in their environment to go on air and sing songs from the Barmy Army, etc., I don't think you would have seen that from Ricky Ponting 3 or 4 years ago, and I think from Ten's perspective, that's been the great joy and success of it, that we now see these guys without their helmets on, and we see they're normal blokes that love to talk about cricket, have fun, really loyal fellas, just normal people that were exceptionally good at cricket. That's been my highlight of the Bash, actually, now the fact we know who these guys are.
Well, I know in your podcast, The Howie Games, you talked about the fact that David Barham, who's the head of Ten Sport, he said to you, you know, our job is to take these people out and give them a public face and make them personalities and not just the guys under the helmet.
Yeah, and he's done a great job, Dave, putting the team together. And he sat down, we sat down, 4 years ago, thinking, oh, we've got cricket. How in God's name are we going to do this? And Ricky came to the very first day of rehearsals and security introduced him. Rocky Ponting is downstairs. And I thought, oh my gosh, this bloke's going to walk out of Network 10 before we even get going. You know, this is, and then Darren Fleming instead of Damien Fleming was introduced. So we're a long way back in the field. But Dave said to myself and Andy Marr at the time, he said, you know what, your guys' job is just to make these guys shine as much as they can, as be as good as they can be on air. Don't get carried away with the cricket, leave that up to them. Just explain to people and get people in Australia to see what type of guys these people are. And, you know, hopefully we've done that. And now, you know, I love it when kids come up to Ricky Ponting. They don't know he played cricket, but they know he's a commentator on the TV and they talk to him about his shirt or singing a song or... You know, that I think that's been the great success for these guys, and hopefully they feel the same way, Coz.
Got some Ricky Ponting audio that I want to play for you in just a moment, but before we get there, talk to us about the shirts and the setup. You've got the spiderweb type set. How does it actually work behind the scenes? You're sitting there, you've got monitors in front of you, you look like you're relaxed and about to have a couple of brown bubblies. It's a great atmosphere.
It is relaxed. If I could bring your audience into my headset and explain to you what goes on in my ears, you might not think it's quite so relaxed. You know, we've got to get away our 19 plugs for I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here, and there's ad breaks, and there's promos, and there's this, and there's that, and there's people mic'd up. So it's probably not quite as relaxed as it seems in there, but if it looks relaxed, that's fantastic. The discussion on wardrobe, Coz, at the end of a Big Bash game, I might get 150 tweets. Of which 130 be about the wardrobe, which I find extraordinary. But can I just say to your audience, I don't choose the pink shirt. I don't go to work and say, I want to wear a pink shirt. So when everyone tweets me saying, why are you wearing that shocking shirt again? I couldn't agree more, but it's not my choice.
Were you last in the queue, were you? Ricky gets first choice, Junior gets second, is that right?
Well, that's the way the whole thing works. We get the roster. I go to Perth 15 times. Ricky doesn't go to Perth. I get the pink shirt. Ricky gets the blue shirt. And then Darren Lehman comes on debut last night and gets a nice little white crisp check number, and I'm in violet. So I think it sort of relates to how many tests you play for Australia. And me at zero is very much at the number 11 in the batting order, Coach.
Slow out of the barrier for that one.
Yeah.
Howie, you had the good fortune last night of calling a hat-trick. It was an abridged hat-trick, obviously, last ball of last over and then the first two of the next over for Ty. Has that been one of your highlights? What's been the highlight for you for Big Bash?
Over the entire tournament this year or in general?
In general. When you sit back and look back, what's been the highlights?
The one calling highlight for me was when Jake Lehman came, and we played a bit of it last night to Booth, when Jake Lehman came to the crease last year at the Adelaide Oval, hadn't faced a ball all tournament. They needed a four off the final ball to win it, and he did it, and it was just extraordinary. It was one of the great moments. And to see, I love it when the boys beside me, like, oh, Morgan hit a six the other night. Mark. Yeah. War is a really low-key bloke. He's obviously a Thunder man. And all of a sudden, he was shouting all over the top of me and whacking my back. And it's like, wow, these guys absolutely love that. So, you know, that's some of the highlights for me. But you can't beat Ricky Ponting singing for mine. I think that's my tournament highlight, this year's highlight, that will be ever my sporting highlight, because he's such a reserved little character. All of a sudden, he's singing. And that night, we're in the pub in Coogee, and people are coming up asking Ricky Ponting to repeat the song that they'd heard about on social media, and you're sitting there having a beer singing the song to these people. I loved it.
Yeah, very, very good. And you have explored the personality of Ricky Ponting as well. If you want to log on, and I reckon it's number one on iTunes at the moment, the Howie Games, which is the podcast, and you get to produce it with a couple of guys, and you get to interview some of the biggest names, including Ricky Ponting.
Yeah, it's really good, Coz. It came about the Howie Games, and now we've got a lot of cricketers on there. Gilly was the first episode we did, but we've got Greg Norman, Trevor Hendy, Lane Beachley, all sorts of some pretty big names in sport, and there's a couple of good ones coming up as well. But it came about, I sat down with Lewis Hamilton at this year's Australian Grand Prix, and working as often as you do at the Grand Prix, you know what it's like. You build relationships with athletes, some better than others. And I've always got on really well with him. We sat down for about a 20-minute chat. And through no fault of anyone at 10 or Triple M or wherever you're working, there's just not that time. So you do a 20-minute interview and it gets cut down to 5 minutes. And you walk away thinking, oh, there's all those things we didn't get in. A podcast, you don't have to do that, mate. You've got no one telling you throw to a song, no one telling you there's an ad break coming up, no one telling you what path to go down. So you just sit down in a room with people you know reasonably well, hopefully, and just talk about life and sport. And often it's not about their sport, it's about them and what made them good and the tough times they've had along the way. I've really enjoyed it, and the feedback has been fantastic. If anyone's listening has sent me stuff on social media, I really appreciate it, and I try and pass it on to the guests, because it's a really, really nice way. Like your radio station does, you get a lot more time to chat with your guests.
Yep.
I think there's a real place for that in modern society. We've almost gone back to radio plays of 70 years ago when you look at podcasts now. So, yeah, it's something I really, really enjoy doing, and hopefully it continues along. Not making any money out of it, Coz, but we keep grinding along and doing our best.
The Howie Game, so check it out as far as the podcast goes. They roughly go anywhere between 50 and about an hour, 5 hour, 10. So it's great listening. You can pop it on in the car. You can have a listen, whatever you want to do. Maybe you're outside, you know, going for a run. So the Howie Games. This was one in particular that caught my attention. We've spoken a bit about Ricky Ponting, and you really delved into the personality. You talked about, you know, meeting Rihanna and his lovely bride with what the brother actually came over.
Yeah, that's right. He was at the casino, and Rihanna's brother, Rihanna knew nothing about cricket, and her brother came over and wanted Ricky's autograph. And then Rihanna eventually came over and said, who's this guy you're speaking to? Do you know him? And, you know, love blossomed there, Coz. Ricky, as he said, he pulled some of his smoothest moves in the little Tasmanian situation and pulled a couple of nice dates and took her out for a steak dinner. And now they've got a beautiful family with three kids. You hear those type of things about them, which you're probably not aware of in the past. And Ricky had a pretty tough upbringing, which he talks about as well. So it's not all about 50s and 100s and being the captain of Australia. It's a lot about life in general.
And meeting round is certainly a high point. And the two of them have had to go through some pretty hard work with their young bloke called Fletch. Howie, I'll pull you up in a moment and I'll play some of this audio from the Howie Games. Have a listen to this. So this is the Australian captain talking to Mark Howard about his young bloke Fletch, who went through some tough times.
Yeah, that was the scariest one, because he was sort of shut down for, well, he was, I think, sedated for about 4 or 5 days at one stage with where he couldn't open his eyes. And,
Yeah, I can obviously see the effect it has on you, mate, which is why it's, now you've got me upset. That's what happens when you've got young kids, mate.
take a deep breath and get on with it, eh? Never done that before. I've spoken about him a lot of times, but that's never happened before. So anyway, move on.
Shows the sort of respect you've got with Ricky Ponting as well, that he was prepared to open up Howie, and really, that's a very emotional side. You could hear him professionally saying, well, let's take a deep breath and get on with it, but meant so much more to him.
Yeah, and we were talking about the Ponting Foundation, and I advise all your listeners to jump on Ricky and Rihanna and check out the Ponting Foundation. They do some wonderful work, which raises money for young children and families that are dealing with cancer. And Rick talks about, you know, going into hospital wards and why he got involved in it, and seeing the state kids were in fighting against cancer. And he was quite emotional talking about that. And then his young bloke Fletch, which he doesn't talk about a great deal, but really sick during the first season of the Big Bash. And yeah, it was touch and go there for a couple of times in the hospital, and Rick was one-on-one in the hospital when the alarms were going on. And yeah, we were sitting in a hotel out at Spotless Stadium last week doing that, and then you don't expect to see a man that you know as Ricky Ponting that hooks 150-kilometre-hour bouncers sitting in front of you in a hotel crying, and that's sort of what I come back to with the Big Bash, that he's just a normal fella and he's got a family and we all get emotional about our children. So yeah, it's what I like to call the real Ricky Ponting. He hasn't got his helmet on. He's just a normal bloke with a family that loves his wife and loves his kids. And sometimes we forget that, Coz. And, you know, you look at the modern media today and it can be a very negative place on people with high profiles, and people write things about them and say things about them. And I think sometimes we just need to take a step back and think, wow, these are guys and girls with families and mums and dads that read this stuff, and children that read this stuff about them, and they're not bulletproof, they're not invincible, they're just normal people like we are, but they do something exceptionally well.
Yeah, I think that's been joined to us in the football circles of recent as well.
Absolutely, mate.
Howie, I know the Big Bash and that format of the game has also seen you travel a bit. You've been to the Caribbean calling the action. How was that?
That was brilliant, mate. It was, you know, when they ring you up and say, do you want to go to the Caribbean and call their version of the Big Bash?
come on.
And Network 10, exactly. Network 10 and Triple M were very good. But, mate, you're in Jamaica and Chris Gayle's batting at Sabina Park and there's 60,000 people there. And you do four over stints there, mate. You don't do the whole game. Sorry to any of your audience that doesn't take this the right way, but you walk out into the crowd for the four overs. And there's that many blokes on a hoochie-coochie that it's just blowing across the ground, mate. And you have a little spell out in the crowd. You come back in. You need three glasses of water just to straighten things up, mate. They absolutely, absolutely love their cricket over there. And, you know, I grew up watching Australia trying to beat the West Indies. So to be at those grounds in the Caribbean and seeing it up close and personal, absolutely brilliant. 32 days, though, 47 flights. So a lot of flying guru.
In and out of the islands and backwards and forwards. And, but what an outstanding opportunity to be able to do it. I mean, who were you working with over there? Who were some of the guns?
Well, we were working with Ian Bishop, who was that big man from the West Indies. So I said one night, do you want to have a beer? And he's like, Howie, I'm not a social man. Do not ask me again. And I was like, okay. Damien Martin, who's a ripping fella. Danny Morrison, who really is the voice of T20 cricket. Darren Ganga. From the West Indies, Mark Butcher, that used to play for England, Mike Haseman, who's a wonderful broadcaster. Yeah. I'm eternally in debt to Channel 10, the fact that we got the Big Bash and they let me have a run on it, because I hadn't done cricket before at that level, and Dave Barham took a massive punt on me, and now to get those opportunities off the back of the Big Bash, I'm indebted to the network for giving me those opportunities, because there was no way I was going to be sitting in the Caribbean calling cricket or in Dubai calling cricket. So, yeah, it's you don't forget those things, Coz. It's been a brilliant, brilliant series of opportunities on the back of the Big Bash.
Gee, there's chalk and cheese, Dubai and the Caribbean, as far as letting the hair down.
Yeah, Dubai was a Masters tournament run by an Indian hotelier who, to be completely Frank Coase still owes a lot of people a fair bit of money, and I'm one of them, so that's another experience where you sign up and blokes like Adam Gilchrist say, mate, don't get on the plane until you've got a certain amount of your money, but you live and you learn, and it doesn't all roll like it rolls in Australia as far as payments, etc. Coase, you almost need a full-time accountant on board with you.
Fantastic. I know you've got a plane to catch. We thank Channel 10 for allowing us to be able to talk to you as well. Channel 10, Big Bash. Coming up, though, you're back into your motorsport, obviously, as well on 10.
Yeah, mate, the Big Bash continues along in Melbourne tonight, and then the V8s kick off in Adelaide. Then we get into MotoGP and the Australian Grand Prix, and hopefully this is the year Daniel Ricciardo can get a win. Obviously, the Mercedes boys with Lewis Hamilton will be tough to beat, but looking forward to the motorsport. But, mate, thanks for having me on. Loving the work you do on the show. Happy New Year to all your listeners. I hope they're no doubt gearing up for the footy season, and I guess the Hawks are going to turn the tables and win the premiership this year, and everyone will be happy again.
Yeah, you're in real struggle town at Hawthorn. That's disappointing for you. What a drought that you're suffering at the moment, the poor old Hawks. I got a feeling if Daniel Ricciardo wins, I got a feeling you'll be the bloke doing the shoey with him. I reckon I'm going to just lay a little book on that right now.
Yeah, he's a great man, Dan Ricciardo, and hopefully they can get that Red Bull going. And yeah, if he wins that, that'll be a great moment in Australian sport, not just Australian motorsport, but obviously Lewis Hamilton will win that Mercedes. It'll be tough to beat, but yeah, I guess the greatest thing about the Australian Grand Prix is the first one of the year, Coast, and no one really knows where everyone is in relation to speed and times, etc. Yeah, but if Daniel Ricciardo wins that, I think we need the Prime Minister to do a Bob Hawke style scenario and give everyone the day off.
Fantastic. Good talking to you, Mark Howard. Safe travels. We thank Network 10 and the Howie Games. Who's up this week for the Howie Games?
Brendan McCullum comes out this morning. Next week, I think, will be either Kevin Peterson or Kumar Sangakkara, and it will flip-flop. So it's out every Thursday. Just Google the Howie Games, and you can get it on Android, you can get it on iTunes, and it's free, Coz. It doesn't cost a cent, which is why I don't make a cent.
Lovely work, Guru.
Good on you, Coz.